I hear now the story of the resurrection as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, the 28th chapter. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all hearts here be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The call to worship had just been pronounced. It was Easter Sunday in an East Texas church. The choir started its processional from the back, singing, "Up from the grave he arose." As they marched, women first, the men following, in perfect step down the aisle to the front of the church. However, the last of the women in the line was wearing a pair of shoes with very narrow high heels that day. And as she stepped on the hot air register, her heel slipped in and stuck. Not wanting to disrupt the procession without missing a beat, she slipped out of her shoe and kept walking up the aisle. The first of the men is right behind her. He noticed what happened, and without thinking, he just reached down to grab her shoe to take it up to the choir loft. Only when he picked up the shoe, the grate came with it. Surprised, but still singing, the man kept going down the aisle, shoe and grate in hand. Everything is still going like clockwork until, still in tune, still in step, the next man comes up, doesn't notice the open register, steps into it, and falls down out of sight. The rest of the men figure it out. They step over the hole, still in tune, still in step, until the hymn ends with the rousing refrain, "Hallelujah, Christ arose." And it was then that it all came apart. For a voice could be heard from underneath the church shouting, "I hope that you're all out of the way, because I'm coming out now." To which the little girl seated nearest the hole on the aisle replied, "Well, come on, Jesus, we'll stay out of your way." Now, what I love about this story, whether or not the actual factual details happened or not, is that this is clearly true of our experience of Easter. Metaphorically, here we are, marching along through life, trying to stay in step, trying to stay in tune, trying not to fall in holes that open up in front of us. When we are surprised by events we could never imagine, our heel catches, the grate lifts with the shoe, the floor opens beneath us and we fall, and it is then that we discover that in these unexpected events, Jesus is on the move. And our response is, well, come on, Jesus, we'll stay out of your way. That's certainly the way it happened that first Easter. The women were marching through the steps of grief. They were visiting the grave of their recently departed loved one. They were headed to a tomb, knowing what they would find there. They didn't like it. They were devastated by their loss, but they understood this is the way things are. People die, and those who are left behind grieve and remember, and then begin the daunting task of trying to rebuild their lives, all the while wishing that things had been different. If only Jesus had made other choices, maybe he wouldn't have been killed. If only they hadn't come to Jerusalem for Passover that year. If only Judas hadn't sold him out. If only the crowd hadn't turned against him. If only Pilate hadn't bowed to public pressure. If only. But none of those regrets or questions would change anything. Jesus is dead. And they had to get past that reality somehow. That's just the way things work. There's nothing that they could do to change it. But the way things work isn't necessarily the way things have to stay, at least not on that morning. In fact, things are so contrary to the status quo that it literally shakes the earth. An earthquake hits that nearly knocks the women off of their feet. So when they arrive at the tomb, nothing is as they expected it to be. The quake has rolled this massive stone away, and a dazzling and terrifying angel is there to greet them. The angel tells the women shocking, unimaginable news. Jesus is no longer dead. He's been raised. They are invited to come into the tomb and see for themselves, and then they are instructed to go and tell the disciples. Tell the disciples that Jesus has been raised from the dead and is indeed going ahead of them to Galilee, and there they will see him. No wonder that we read that the women greeted this news with fear and great joy. Great joy because obviously this is the best of all possible news. Jesus is no longer lost to them. Death has been overcome, defeated. The tomb is now empty, but also fear. Not only because they've been rattled by an earthquake and startled by an angel, but because the news itself is so disorienting. If death no longer has the last word, then what else might be possible? If Jesus is alive and on the loose, what might happen next? It has been observed that when an angel says to you, "Do not be afraid," you'd better start worrying, because God most likely has a big assignment for you. And the big assignment on the way for the women is that they are to go. Go and tell the disciples that Jesus is alive. Go to Galilee, where they will see Jesus. Now, there are a couple of problems with this assignment to go. First, they are women. And in that time, the testimony of women was discounted, to say the least. They were not permitted to testify in court. Women, the word of women was not considered reliable or worthy of attention, and yet they are told to go and tell the disciples this unbelievable news. And if by some miracle the disciples actually listen, much less believe what they're saying, then they are to do something completely counterintuitive. They're not to rush back to the tomb to see for themselves that this has happened. They're not to drop everything and spend some time trying to figure out what this news might mean. Instead, they are to pick up and go home to Galilee. Really? Galilee? Galilee is the disciples' home. The place their adventure with Jesus began. The place they lived and fished and raised their families. Where they know the people and the people know them. They know the landscape, the way of life. Galilee is the most ordinary of places on earth for them. And yet they are to go there to experience the most extraordinary of events. Because Galilee is where they are promised that they will encounter the risen Jesus. They will see Jesus in Galilee, of all places. Now, we expect to see Jesus on mountaintops and in cathedrals, in holy places like Jerusalem, but that isn't where Jesus is going to be. Jesus is going to be in the place of ordinary life, in the midst of day-to-day living, in places we are known and where we know. It is true for the disciples, and it is true for us. For Jesus goes before us into our Galilee as well, into the very ordinary places of our daily existence, the places where our kids play soccer, and doctors' rooms where we await test results. Jesus goes before us into boardrooms and classrooms and is with us in the grocery store line and in the chorus line. Jesus goes ahead of us into the most unlikely of places where trucks are driven into crowds and chemical weapons fall, places where children are shot while in apparent safety in their special needs classroom, places where we fight with our spouses, and places where we are surprised by the unexpected kindness of strangers, by the quiet beauty of a sunrise, or the unexpected reunion with a childhood friend. The places of ordinary joy and extraordinary challenge, the places where the rubber of our lives meets the road of God's providence. Christ goes before us to all of those places and promises to meet us there. We don't have to find the right place. We don't have to have our lives all together in order to be met by Jesus. All we have to do is show up in our lives. Open our eyes to see Jesus at work in and around us, and then to open up our lives to his resurrection power. Eugene Peterson realized this, and it changed how he lived his life and how he served his congregation as a pastor. He writes in his book, Under the Unpredictable Plant, Jesus is risen. He is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, as he told you. In every visit, every meeting I attend, every appointment I keep, I have been anticipated. The risen Christ has got there ahead of me. The risen Christ is in that room already. And so the question isn't, is Jesus with me, or where can I find God? We live our lives based on the assumption that Jesus is already every place we are, that there is no place that we can be that God is not already at work. Our job then is simply to keep our eyes open to recognize what Jesus is doing and to offer ourselves to become part of the new life Jesus is bringing in that place at that moment through his presence. It's like the butterflies that are around the sanctuary on the walls around us. So here's the background on those. I know they look a little like a kindergarten project gone bad. but last Sunday, as part of our worship, we traced, those of us who are here, traced our hands onto a piece of paper. We did that as a way for us to reflect on the ways that we have loved and served God faithfully, as well as the ways that we have been faithless and sinful. And then you who were here offered it all to God. You brought your traced hands forward and laid them on the cross. You offered yourself, the ordinary, every day, sometimes great, sometimes just a big old mess of you. You offered yourself. The promise of this day is that Jesus is present in that mix, going ahead of you and bringing new life in and through you, represented now by the butterflies made from your hands. Jesus received your offering. Jesus always receives us when we turn to him, transforming us and rising us to new life. That's where I think that little girl in that story at the beginning of the sermon got it wrong. She cries out, "Come on out, Jesus. We'll stay out of your way." But Jesus doesn't want us to stay out of the way. Jesus wants us to be a part of the way. Once Eugene Peterson realized that anywhere he was, Christ had arrived before him and was already at work, he began to quote the message of this passage before going into any new place. He would say to himself, "Christ is risen. He is going before you to 1020 Edmonton Road. There you will see him as he told you." Later in the day, he would tell himself, "Christ is risen. He is going before you to St. Joseph's Hospital. There you will see him, as he told you." He writes, "When I arrive and enter the room, I am not so much wondering what am I going to do or say, as I am alert and observant for what the risen Christ has been doing or saying that is making a gospel story out of this life. We are always coming in on something that is already going on. We are dealing with what the risen Christ has already set in motion, already brought into being." Peter Gomes was chaplain at Harvard University before his death, and he would tell of a time when he spoke to a group of students at a prep school. His favorite part of those kind of presentations was the question and answer period at the end. You never knew what kids were going to come up with. And that night, he wasn't disappointed. A boy stood up in the large hall and asked Gomes what inspired him. Now, he suspected that the boy figured the answer would be something like God, Harvard. But Gomes surprised himself and perhaps the young man by saying on impulse, "What inspired him was the beginning of each new day." He said, "When I wake up each morning and pinch myself to see if I'm still alive, I rejoice that I have been given the chance to start over. Because at the end of the day, when I put my head down and go to sleep, everything has not always gone the way that I wanted it to. Things have been left undone. Bad things have been said. Good things have been left unsaid. And lots of things have been left in abeyance. It happens every day, and every night one takes that burden to bed. But in the morning, all is possibility, all is opportunity, all is good, and all is God. Because Christ goes before us, showing us the path to follow, correcting our missteps, pulling new life out of us. All is now possibility. All is opportunity. All is good. And all is God." Now, I don't know why you came to worship here today. It could be that it's your habit. You're here every Sunday, so of course you're here this Sunday. It may be because it's Easter, and everyone knows you ought to be in church on Easter. Maybe you were invited, and you're doing it as a favor to a friend or relative. Maybe you're here because you are hoping to find something that will help you in your life. We've come together today for all kinds of reasons. But the important question is not why we came, but how we will leave. Will we go forward with our lives, our eyes open to recognize the risen Christ in the ordinary moments of our lives? Will we anticipate meeting him at the intersections of our lives, in the midst of the possibilities, our dreams, our challenges? Will we carry the good news with us? The message to the woman is God's message to each of us. Don't be afraid. He has been raised. He is not here. But go. Tell He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. So find your voice and go with courage back to your own Galilee. And remember, you can do this and you can do all else because you do not go alone. Christ is alive. Wherever you go, Jesus goes with you. Wherever you are, Jesus is already there. That is the promise of this day, that Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen.